Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 24 through 33. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and she had endured much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Blessed are those who listen to the reading of the Bible, seeking and wondering beforehand, "Is there a message in it for me today?" May it be that God's Spirit will touch us so that we will hear a voice when it comes to us. My friends, we are living in exciting times. And I need not tell you, but our everyday life is constantly changing and human knowledge is booming. Things we could not even imagine just a few years ago are nowadays commonplace for us. Now, I must tell you that I marvel at the fact that since I have a global positioning system, they call it the GPS now, in my car, I do not get lost as often as I did before. Recently, I had to find an address here in Cocoa Beach, and I had a wrong idea where the street was. And I was circling round and round and turning in and out. And finally I thought, "Wait, stop, calm down, set your GPS." I did that, and you wouldn't believe it. I was about a minute and a half away from the house that I was seeking. And then suddenly, after this happened, I thought about it. And then it suddenly struck me, "Hey, but that's exactly the truth about our faith in God." And I needed a GPS to teach me that lesson. How completely lost in the mysteries of the universe we would be if we were not made aware of God in and through Jesus Christ. How completely lost I would be in this confusing and lonesome world if not connected in faith to the living God. And that reminded me of the story that we just read, told in the Gospel of Mark, that took place in a city street 2,000 years ago. And Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, reminds us, tells us the story, and he wrote about 50 years after this happened, so this was told from generation to generation before it was actually written down. And he says that it happened in a city street, a narrow, twisted street, packed with a diverse crowd of excited people, surging past its bazaars and pavement stalls with all the noise and confusion of a typical Eastern marketplace in those days. And we know the stories. Many people surrounded Jesus in those days. And I guess they were anxious to get close to see him from nearby. We're still like that. If a celebrity comes our way and we know there's going to be a performance, you see it in the media. long before the time, people are waiting outside and the crowd is really swelling and swelling till finally the celebrity comes. I remember as a 9-year-old boy in South Africa, the Queen and the King and Queen of England in those days were visiting us for the first time. And we were standing beside the roads and we were waiting and we all were given, and as South Africans we didn't like the Union Jack, but we were all given little Union Jacks and we had to wave it as the King and Queen, and our current Queen was then only a girl in her 20s, and finally they went by. And even then we were pushing and shoving each other to stand right up front. Now these people wanted to see this Galilean who seemed to offer things that they've never heard of before. Because people were telling, talking, speaking about this Jesus. And they said that he was offering healing of mind and soul and body and a way to get your sins forgiven. He was giving people another chance and he was offering them a new beginning. Normal day in the city, 2,000 years ago, a thronging crowd, Jesus walking through the crowd. And then it happened. Suddenly, unexpectedly, Jesus stopped in his tracks and asked, "Who touched me?" Can you imagine? That's quite an electrifying question when you realize who asked it. And under what circumstances? You cannot really escape the thrill of it, the tingle of excitement that grips you when you think of Christ stopping in response to the touch of a poor nameless woman. What's her name? Who is she? We don't know. Story was written long time ago. It was told from mouth by mouth. We do not know. But tradition gave her several names. There is a tradition that says her name was Martha. There's another opposing tradition that says her name was Veronica. We will never know. But one thing we do know. She represents all the people who look everywhere for peace of mind and heart, for hope and comfort, and still can't find it. She represents them all. Whatever their wants, their fears, their hopes, their pains. And what did she believe? She believed only one thing. She said, "If I could only touch Jesus. If I could only touch the hem of his garment," based on the story she had heard, "then I might be healed and suffer no more." And so she knew, "Girl, you better be there. You've got one chance. You've heard about this man for a long time. He's going this way. See the crowds. Maybe just this once in my life, this certain Jesus of Nazareth is going to cross my path. I cannot miss the opportunity." She had to touch him. And can you imagine her excitement? Because the crowd was pushing her away. Everybody wanted to see, pushed in front of her. Came nearer and nearer, and finally she got just a moment, she could almost reach him, and then just her finger as he passed by, she's able to reach out her hand, just her finger touched. Bible says that was enough. With a trembling finger, she had touched Jesus with the touch of a mighty faith. Well, actually, to be truthful, no one had noticed her. No one. No one but Christ. Recognizing the one magnetic touch of faith amid the pressure of the crowd, he stopped and asked this unexpected, a terrific question. "Who touched me?" He didn't say, "Who dared to touch me?" He just said, "Who touched me?" Now this question seemed absurd to those who heard it, impatiently, almost with sarcasm. The disciples responded, "You know, they were just human beings like we all are. And they were living with Jesus at that time. They didn't think of him in another way as that just he was just a great teacher. How could he be so dumb? Jesus, don't you realize what's happening? Lots of people are touching you. You're walking through a crowd. Bible puts it this way. You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me? But looking around him, Christ stood still. And the Bible says, his kind but searching glance fell at last, on the face of the woman who had done it. How did he recognize her? We do not know. Maybe she was startled when she realized that he was stopping. She was the one who intentionally touched him. We don't know. But he was looking at her. And can you sense the electricity of this moment? Nothing was really happening. It was just an everyday scene. She just wanted to see the one of whom she'd heard was passing by. And suddenly, the crowd was hushed. And he was looking straight into her eyes. And something passed between them. And she told him her story. And all the time, they were communicating. They were looking one another in the eyes. I don't know. Maybe his eyes must have given her confidence. They seemed to promise all she desired. Her fear disappeared, that's obvious. And then he answered her. How did he answer her? No, not in scorn at her action, not in resentment, not in anger at her presumption, not in ridicule at her faith, not in indignation at her audacity, but in the sympathetic tones of understanding love. Bible puts it this way. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. What happened? Come on, folks. Come on. 2,000 years have gone by. We need to see it through the eyes of modern people like us. What happened? Well, she touched him in faith, desperately believing something, and he stopped for her. The touch of one anonymous woman in a crowd halted the Prince of Glory. And that to me is the glorious message of this incident. She touched him. And so can we still. That is the story of our faith. In and through Jesus Christ, we get to know and to touch God. In and through Jesus Christ, we are given, we are handed a GPS, a modern GPS. It got my car talking to me. And human beings discovered it. Do you then doubt the living God? That you cannot reach Him? In faith, we need to communicate and to touch God, or we will get lost. We need to touch Him. Oh, how we need to touch Him. You see, most of us are thronging Jesus just like the crowd. You know, it's easy to throng the Lord and never touch Him. You can sit quietly in a church pew for years. You can listen and you can think about other things even while you're listening, because that's what we all do. I cannot concentrate all the time on one thing. Sometimes I try to, but it just doesn't work. We are modern people. We think fast. Our brain feeds us constantly with memories, thinking about things. Some of you might have wondered, did I remember to turn off the stove before I left this morning? You know, that's the sort of thing that goes through your mind. Many people in churches goes to church for a lifetime. I can say they are literally thronging Jesus, seeking Him, coming close to Him, but they never ever touch Him. If it's your parents who taught you about God, They didn't send you to throng Jesus. They sent you to touch Him as they were touched sooner or later in their lives. That changed them. The message is simple. Thronging as much as you like. Sit in church as much as you like. Be in the presence as much as you like. But if you not learn to touch God in faith, nothing is happening. And I guess that's exactly the trouble with most of us. Nobody anymore doubts the magical power of a simple human invention of a GPS in our cars or in our cell phones, yet we fail to accept and follow the GPS of our faith, of being and remaining and staying in instant touch with God. We are following the crowd, thronging the Lord, but few are actually in touch with the Master. And because we are not really in touch, we hear tea people talk and talk and talk about God, about Christ, and we hear all the arguments and we believe some of it, others we will never believe. And therefore I published a little thing in today's bulletin, you must read it, that people looking into this church from the outside, they don't see our beautiful windows. It looks dark if you pass by. You have to sit in here. You have to sit in this church in the evening to look through this window. And then you will see with the light behind it. Then you will see how you look into eternity through it. Somehow it is the same with God. You have to touch Him. You have to learn to look through new windows at the world. And it's because many of us are not in touch that we've lost the thrill of it. I'll get sick and tired to listen to the same voice week after week, don't you? It's difficult sometimes. And if it hasn't to do with your communication with God, friend, then you have never learned to worship in your life yet. And because we are out of touch with the Lord, we are lost in the crowd, and we are living separated from the Master. Now you say, come on, bring it a bit home. He promised that we would have power. Now you show me what power did God give you if you say that you're a follower of Him. Well, then I'll say, well, He taught me to do amazing things. And then, like we saw in a movie, somebody may yell at me, okay, if you have faith, walk across my swimming pool because you said that Jesus walked on water. And then I still say, you don't understand, friend. You haven't got an idea what Scripture is all about. Jesus did teach me to do unnatural things. One thing that He taught me that I couldn't do was to harbor no grudges. One thing that I resented since I was a child was to forgive somebody who hurt me. Something that I had difficulty doing before was to love even those who treated me unjustly or unkindly. And then my God had the audacity to expect of me to pray for those who hurt me. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I would rather do something else, especially when I was young. And guess what? He taught me through my life an unnatural thing to do. To pray for those who are hurting me. To try making right situations that have been wrong. And oh, He taught me something even more difficult, even more unnatural, because it didn't come natural in me. It is to humble myself and to realize you're not worthy. You're not worthy to stand in the presence of God. You're not worthy to stand in a pulpit if it was not for the grace of God. He taught me to swallow every bit of pride that I thought I was entitled to. He even dared me to risk a snub or a slight for the glory of His name. You may ask, well, how can I touch Christ? Yes, we are all wanting in many different ways. No two of us are the same. Some may seek healing of body or mind or of soul. Some may seek insight on some problem. Some need faith to stand up under the tensions and strength of life. Some is seeking forgiveness and a new beginning. All of us has a reason why we came to church this morning. Oh, may it be that we came to touch the hem of God's garment, to touch Christ in faith for some reason or other. Faith is nothing but a GPS back to the heart of God. Give God a chance. Mention your problem, whatever it may be, to God in prayer. I've learned, no matter how big my problems are, give me a chance to speak in the quiet to my God, and by the time I have explained to God what my problem is, I already know the answer. And often, it's a finger pointing at me. You caused your problem, you go fix it, child. Telling God. I don't know you, but I can't lie to God when I pray. I've tried. I know it before I'm done. I know He knows me better than I know myself. Hold nothing back. Our minds are sometimes shocked when we permit our hearts to spill over. But it is good for our spiritual life when we do. If we would only have the courage to take a good look at our motives for doing certain things, we might discover something about ourselves that would melt away our pride and soften our hearts so that God could do something with us and something for us. Oh, and we get to know, in closing, we get to know God's will in many different ways. For me, it often comes through my own conscience. Can't understand it. My wonderful parents have died decades ago. But sometimes it is as if I could still hear their voices. Tender voices, loving voices, teaching voices. Till I realize, hey, it's not their voices you're hearing. You're hearing the voice of God that they heard. And God is speaking to you, to me, through them. Yes, sometimes during our often so lonesome earthly journey, we discover the unexpected. We discover God. Some may have already reached out and touched the heart of God even while you were listening this morning. The message of Scripture is, in Jesus, God is ready for and waiting for your touch. The hand of faith is enough. So let us reach out and touch God through Jesus Christ in faith today. You know what, my friend? God will not ask like Jesus did long ago. Who touched me? God will know. He already knows. Amen.